Jesus says plainly, life is more than food and the body more than clothing. And yet we of little faith, we who struggle with the faith, when we hear Jesus' words, do not be anxious about our life, about what we will eat, nor about what your body will put on, we initially hear that with sighs of anxiousness, not with sighs of relief and comfort. We perhaps even shrug our shoulders and have a quizzical or fallen face. You got to be kidding me, Jesus. Don't worry. For as these words sink into our anxious heart and flesh, we tend to feel that Jesus is kind of barking at us or wagging his divine finger at us. Those who have fallen short in some sort of glad game of Pollyanna. We often hear Jesus' words here not as comfort and relief, but rather as command. You know how it is. You tell someone not to worry, and often it's met with a sentiment or attitude of, that's easy for you to say, you're not in my situation. Or you tell someone not to worry, and they worry over the fact that you're worrying about them. In the end, we find little comfort in the words of Jesus. Once again, we feel caught in our shortcomings and our sins. The burden only seems to get heavier and heavier with these words. And note that Jesus is not speaking as if there's nothing to worry about. There is plenty to worry about. As mothers and fathers, we worry about our children, their health, their safety, their education, their catechesis in the religious, in the Christian faith. As children, we worry about our reputation, our social status, a job, and maybe the pressure cooker we now call growing up and all the things that are demanded of us. As husbands and wives, we might well worry about the strength of our marriage. Are we communicating well enough? Have we taken our spouse perhaps for granted? Have we loved them enough in their declining health? As single people, we worry about who is going to take care of us, for we are all alone. Will the loneliness always be so palpable and cut so deep? Will anyone take notice of us, love us, and tell us that we matter in a relationship-defined world? And as citizens, no doubt we worry, especially now, about the state of our country. It's ugly descent into moral relativism, the increasing loss of religious freedom and speech, and the total, absolute lack of our fellow neighbor to care about what happens to this country. The list of worries is endless. Hearts are troubled, lives are broken, bodies are burdened, souls are anxious. Life is a cruel, hard, and complicated reality with dangers and snares that lurk around every corner. But beloved children of God, do understand this, that Jesus is not saying, don't worry and just be happy as the little ditty had it. No, he's not sidestepping your reality. He's not exchanging the fallen life for some fantasy without crosses and without trials and without burdens. He's not blinded by a theology of glory. He sees correctly. Jesus rather comes into the very sum and substance of our anxious cares and anxieties. He comes with his word. He speaks his providential, comforting, consoling word. He is, after all, the creator of the heavens and the earth, is he not? Did he not create you body and soul and supports all that you need for your body and soul in this life and the life to come? He gives you all that you need. And he doesn't do this because you deserve it or because you have somehow earned it with your hands or works. And nor does he stop giving to you in the event that you squander his gifts in reckless living or taking his gifts for granted. He simply gives because that is in his nature. That is what is his nature as giver of all good things. the one who gives apart from, as we learned, any merit or worthiness in us. And so the complete care of your body and your soul is deeply embedded in that short creedal phrase that you just confessed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. And this confession leads us to realize that life is more than the food that you swallow, that life is more than the clothes that adorn your body, that life is more than just a fulfilling of the hierarchy of psychological needs. Because life is not lengthened or made better by more creaturely things or pursuits of luxury. Actually, when you think about it, it's probably made more worrisome because you're worried that someone's going to steal those things that you have taken so much time to earn or get. And Jesus says that the nations of the world, in other places in the text, in the Gospels, the Gentiles seek after those things. But they do nothing but pull them away from a kingdom that is eternal and lasts forever, to a kingdom that is made of dust and will only be for a short passage of time. For not only is it impossible to save your body and your life by the work of your own hands, it's futile to think that an anxious and worrisome outlook on life will benefit your body and soul, or even keep them together in your eventual death. Because the only hands that create, that give, that sustain, that resurrect, that give life, are the hands of your Heavenly Father. For no matter how hard you try to grow up and emancipate yourself from your Father's kingdom, no matter how much you think you can obtain life apart from your Heavenly Father's kingdom, you will not find life. Rather, you will only find death. You only find a world that ticks away by every tick of the clock. And you will see that death will engulf all that you love and all that you are, body and soul. However, if you are to truly live as your Heavenly Father would have you live, in its abundance, and how He defines life, you will remain a child in His kingdom. You remain a child in His house. You remain a child hearing His word and receiving His gifts day in and day out. And so Jesus, instructive of life being more than food and the body more than clothing, would have you look briefly at nature. Look at the ravens. They were not created in His image. They were not redeemed by the Son of God. They've been given a different vocation altogether, though they do share in the curse and consequence of our sin. And yet, our Heavenly Father says they neither sow nor reap. They go about their lives without worry, and your Father feeds them. And look at the lilies. See how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. They just grow and they come to bloom without wearisome labor, without spinning the garment of their bloom. And their beauty exceeds, Jesus says, that of even Solomon and all the things that he enrobed himself at the height of his reign. So does this mean that you should just simply stop working and do nothing? Does this mean that you should just sit idle and on your couch and do nothing? And just simply wait for your Heavenly Father to do something? No. For we are reminded that it is God's pleasure to maintain the anxious care of loving our neighbor. That is, that we might help and serve our neighbor. That we might share our possessions with our neighbor. For that is precisely why we have been given them. Not to hoard them, but to give them as we have been given. And so we ask, are we a ruler or a king? Therefore, then I am to care for my subjects. Am I a father? Therefore, I am to care for the members of my family and my wife. and so forth. According to each one's vocations, there are responsibilities and duties that are to be carried out. God cares for all, and in His care is the care that pertains precisely to faith. Not to love, but to faith. For we also are to be interested in one another. That is the care of love. Namely, that when something is given to me, that I share it with others so that they might rejoice in that gift as well. So Jesus' words here do not in any way nullify the need for human work, for daily toil, for the sweat of your brow. But what they do is very important. They place a limit on your work, and to free your work from the pressure of it being enough. Because you know and I know that it's never enough in our mind. It doesn't seem like enough. But Jesus says that He is enough. Your life is no longer defined by the labor of your hands. But now your life is defined by the labor of Christ's hands. His blood, His crucified hands, the hands of the Son of God, Jesus' hands. Jesus frees you from worry of the future precisely because He is the future. And He frees you from worry about life because He precisely is your life. For only those who live in the certainty of their lives being ultimately provided for by their Heavenly Father, that is, i.e. those who live by faith and not by sight, can tolerate the fact that this temporal and fleeting world is passing away. And what they see disappears. For faith says, even though it disappears, it is still there. Faith is directed toward the truth of God and His promise, as the psalmist would confess, the word of the Lord is right and true, and He is faithful in all that He does. So look not only at nature, look not only at the birds of the heavens or the lilies of the field, but much more look at the Son of God, this well-pleasing and beloved Son of God. For He has hungered and He has thirsted. He has hung naked on a cross. He has suffered in your place. Right there, in His holy passion, in His holy crucifixion, in His holy kingdom and His holy righteousness, there your life is found. Seek first that kingdom of forgiveness and grace and mercy, and all the treasures of His kingdom will be added unto you. For thus it is by and with and from His cross that God the Father clothes and feeds you with His Son, Jesus Christ. That He gives you His holy body and holy blood, that He gives you His holy baptism, by which He clothes you with the beautiful and perfect righteousness of Christ, more glorious by far than all that Solomon or any earthly king could have, more than any grass or flower of the field. So Jesus says, do not be anxious, not just be happy, but do not be anxious because I have taken care of all that you need for your body and your life. You need not live in suspense. You need not cherish the worrisome mind and the troubled heart. You need not fear. Though Jesus realizes that you are a little flock, that you are little lambs often lost and feeling abandoned, a little lamb perhaps overwhelmed by the pains and wounds of the past that never seem to heal. Yes, you are weak, Jesus knows, but He also knows that He is strong for you. He is your shepherd, after all, perfect and generous, even to the point of death for Himself and life for you, abiding life, that is. Therefore, we are to live in our Father's hands. We are to listen to our Father's voice. We are to receive our Father's gifts. And there and only there will you find the strength to live generously, self-denyingly, and self-sacrificially. For the purses that hold goods that never wax old, that moth and rust cannot destroy, these are the works that glorify your Father who is in heaven, and who also love your neighbor who lives right next to you. But the treasures that are confessed by faith and are given beyond the human eye in this world are seen and rejoiced by your heavenly Father and by the saints who are in heaven. These all rejoice that you are loved and that you love one another. And as those treasures, these are ones that the thief cannot steal and moth cannot destroy. Living by faith in God's grace of His kingdom, your heart and your mind, your body and your soul will find its truest and surest treasure. For in these treasures, the Son of God has prepared for you and clothed you to be royalty, rescued lambs of the eternal Shepherd, Jesus Christ, roaming in glory and honor in your Father's heavenly pasture. In the name of Jesus,
Amen.